You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do you have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no announcements of any type, we will go to the scripture reading. It's at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Merry Holiday. They're trying to take it from us, aren't they? It's Merry Christmas. It's good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Good to see Betty's son, Dennis. Came a long way. Hope you'll enjoy the message this morning. I've got a little thing here. It's on the front pew. It's called Jesus is Better Than Santa. And I want you to know that's for you. When the message is over, you can get it. I'll just give you a little sample. It says Jesus... No, it says Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help. That's just the start. It's really good. Take it home and enjoy it. Oh, this time of year just kind of wears me out. And I don't know why. I don't do anything. I don't know how you women do it. I don't know how you make all these deadlines and get all this stuff done. It's amazing to me. I just marvel at it. I did go to the mall yesterday with Sherry, and there were two of us men there, but the rest of the 5,000 people were women. No, there was more than that. It was more than that. Well, it is a time that we need to have a little joy in our hearts about. Because we need to keep our mind on the reason for the season. You know, I've got a bumper sticker on the back of my car. It says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so when I cut in front of that guy and steal his parking place at the mall, he can still rejoice as he reads my bumper sticker in front of him. I don't have that bumper sticker. I mean, I think I've still got Bush 02 or something. I'm way back there. Oh. Let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of celebration. And Father, even though it is a time that we know and perfectly understand from the Scriptures that the birth of Christ was not now, that the world does celebrate it, and that still according to your purpose and your plan, you have your ways. So that every soul is without excuse. We thank you for the joy that fills our heart as we fellowship together with believers of a like mind, not only here, but day in and day out as we celebrate this season and the meaning of it. And we thank you, Father, for the great joy that comes in our heart as we see the things that remind us, and hear the songs, and share the glad tidings of the Christ child, the Savior of the world, your Son, and the forgiveness of our sins. We praise you for that. We pray, Father, that your Spirit now take the things of Christ as we study this lesson and as we look at some of the songs of Christmas, and that you might make them very real to us, and that our faith might be built up and be holy and be bold in your sight and in the witness that you've given to us. We thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, that's right. It's Christmas, and Christmas is coming. It's this Thursday, in case you don't know that. There's only 3 more shopping days. Well, you can count today, but gosh, I hope I don't see you at the mall. I hope you don't see me there either. It's coming fast, and there's plenty of things to do. We've got the tree and the lights up. We've still got to get the turkey, at least at our house. We've still got some presents to buy. And who knows what else has to be done. And of course, what about Santa? What about Santa? I'm sure he's busy. He's checking his list twice. Isn't that right? Are you all stressed up and nowhere to go? Seems like that's what the motif is today. Let's hurry up and wait. Now, I'll emphasize the wait. I think we need to wait. I don't mind the hurry up. That's just part of life sometimes. Sometimes you better hurry up if that train is coming and you're stuck on the tracks. Or you better hurry up if you've forgotten to do something your wife has asked you to do and get it done. But you know, I want you to just hurry up and wait. Take that time out. Pause. As the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. It's not easy. You know, if you're a businessman or if you work, you know, during the day, it's hard to find time just to reflect on God. And yet we're supposed to pray daily, constantly, all time, everywhere, whatever we're doing. And yet we ignore that admonition. But God says, be still in order to know who he is. So, I've got a couple of things I want to tell you about him, just real quickly. We looked last week at Emmanuel, God with us. Or as I said, we need to put the Yoda version on it. With us is God. With us is God. He took on the form of man. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. Emmanuel was a name, but it was not the name that we call him by. We called him Jesus, the Savior of our sins. Let me give you a few more names and you just think about them. Advocate. Almighty. The Alpha and Omega. The Amen. Apostle. Author. Go author. Author and finisher of what? Our faith. Blessed and only potentate. The bread of life. The bright and morning star. The chief cornerstone. The child. The Christ. The dayspring. Deliverer. Emmanuel. Faithful and true. Firstborn. First fruits. The head. High Priest, Lamb of God, Lord of Glory, Holy One of God. I Am. Jesus, Judge, Just One. King, Light, Life, Lord, Master. Messiah. Nazarene. Physician, Prophet, Prince, Rabbi. You think a rabbi, do you think? Of that story of a rabbi coming to him. Resurrection and the life. I think of Martha, Mary. The righteous one, Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, Teacher, the last Adam, the bridegroom, the carpenter, the truth, the way, the word. People don't want the truth today. We have a problem in America because people don't care about the truth. They've been compromised. They've been, if you were playing chess, you'd call it stalemate. They just have nowhere to move. They've got nothing, no more to go because they've forgotten the truth. the truth has been changed, and in this postmodern world, we don't see any absolutes, and so there's no truth. But today, and this time of year, is a time that we see a celebration. And what preachers should do all across the world is teach the story of Him, the story of Him who created the heavens and the earth. I like the way I heard a fellow say it this last week. He said He slung out the spiraling nebula. That's just amazing to stop and think about God in that way, that form, that fashion. But the preacher is to preach. He's to tell the story. And he doesn't just do it in Scripture. And we don't always just hear the story in Scripture. We sang some songs this morning. What do we call them? Hymns. We do tell the story in hymns. And the particular songs we sang this morning are Christmas songs. They're songs about the birth of Christ. They're not just songs about the present birth of Christ or the past birth of Christ, but they're songs about the future and the hope that lies before mankind. So we tell the story in songs and we sing, and it expresses our faith. These Christmas songs do. These great hymns that we sing. And singing is a time of memory, and it's a time of music. It's the time of hearing Christmas all around us. Christmas everywhere. Because there's Christmas in the air. I love to walk around the house as Sherry decorates, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I don't think we find that in the hymn book. But it gives a little lift, doesn't it? It brightens up my day. I hope you all do that. I hope you have that joy that comes from just seeing it and experiencing it and seeing it expressed all around you. Songs are a part of our tradition. But songs are also a part of truth and the truth of this season. And these songs are more than just sentiment. These songs are more than just some kind of soft, warm, fuzzy. They're rather a call. They're a call to us to worship our Lord. To worship the One who came. To worship Him in quiet contemplation of the miracle of His birth. And the coming of the King. Or the songs evoke the idea of a shout for joy. Yeah, I that song, O Holy Night, I identify with that so much because in me is the, I feel like the world was there in sin and error pining, just waiting to be redeemed. And they do, they groan. The creation of God with us groans at this sin infested presentation of life that we have before us day in and day out. But the music of Christmas, it lifts our spirits and inspires our faith and increases our hope. It's in the music that people often hear the melody of the greatest story ever told. We sang a couple of them this morning. The story of God leaving His ivory palaces and becoming a man and becoming flesh and living among us in the person of Jesus. And we hear the story of how He lived and how He died and how He was buried and how He rose again. It's the story of the King. It's the story of the one who's given to us grace and truth. It's the story of the one who's given to us eternal life, at least to us who believe. So the music provides meaning for the songs that we love and the story that we share. It's a celebration of the birthday of the King, and it's worldwide. It's a celebration of the wonder of His love. The wonder, or should I say wonders, of His love. Here in Luke, we've read this story so many times, and it seems so simple and so yet so profound. And yet we see the hand of God everywhere, even in the work of nations. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxation was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth." Now, you don't really think too much when you hear those words, but Galilee is a region, Nazareth is a city, and it's up by that Sea of Galilee. And I don't know how many miles that is. I think it's probably a good 30 or 40 miles north of Jerusalem. It's a long way to come if you're riding on a donkey. It takes a little time. And if you're pregnant, it provides a little hardship. But where did he go? He went to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just a little south of Jerusalem, probably 5 miles, if that much. Bethlehem's not much today like it was back then. Bethlehem today is overrun with Arab conflict. Bethlehem today is a war zone. They've got these huge 25-foot concrete slabs surrounding the city on three sides. You can't get in and get out of the city without going through a checkpoint. Somehow I don't see it being that way back then. Things have certainly changed. There's a song that was written by Philip Brooks called "Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem." Now, Philip Brooks is probably not famous to you and me. I mean, unless we went to seminary school or we studied hymnology or something. But he was a pastor in an Episcopal church. He went to Harvard, I think. He's the 18th century, says he's... People say, or not the 18th, the 19th century, because he preached like in about 1860, 1870, 1880, and he taught at Yale. One of the greatest and most well-known preachers of his time. And I don't know how good he was. I haven't really read anything from him. I did know that he's 6'4" and 300 pounds, and that's a pretty commanding presence. And maybe his stature of notoriety comes more from his physical presence more than his other, but he was a gifted man. And in 1865, he journeyed to the Holy Land, and he went to Israel, and he stood there in Bethlehem. What an impression it made upon him. Open your hymns to your blue hymns to number 92. He didn't write the song until 3 years later, when he came back, and the fellow at his congregation that was a music leader wrote him the music for it. You see his name on the right hand side, Lewis Redner. Notice it starts out, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Bethlehem. Here is a prophecy came from Micah. You know where Micah is? You can put your songbook down and go over to the Minor Prophets and look at Micah. It's right after Jonah. In chapter 5, and this is the passage that was quoted to Herod when the wise men showed up. He asked all those smart guys at the synagogue, "What are these fellows from the east talking about?" At least they knew their book. They had studied it. They went to Micah in chapter 5. It says in verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." Fantastic passage talking about the eternal God. "And he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Nobody knew he was coming. Nobody expected him to come. There was silence in those streets that night. "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The fears. What fears? Think. What fears could there be? I guess the greatest fear. That this is all there is. We live, we die. It's over. There's no more. It has no purpose, no meaning. And yet today, the constant cry is that there is no meaning to life. In fact, we live on a pale blue dot that has no purpose, that has no meaning, that has no significance at all. And yet everything all around us, everywhere we look, we see the heavens declare the glory of God. We see the firmament showeth forth His handiwork day by day. And when the time came, the fullness of time in the mind of God, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the child was born. The light that came into the world. This here in Micah is a prophecy. A messianic prophecy. It speaks of the birth of the child. The seed of the woman, if we go back to Genesis. I can't imagine what they thought as they read these Old Testament prophecies. I can't imagine in my mind as they deliberated, as they talked over their tea at night or coffee or whatever they drank, how they put together what God was going to do and when He would do it, how He would do it. Well, He's going to come in like a king. He's going to come marching down the road and the gates are going to be thrown open and He's going to conquer His enemy and He's going to be praised and adored like Saul when he came back or like David when he came back. Like any other king. It's not quite how God planned it, is it? Not at all. It was in dark streets while people were asleep and silent stars went by. Go back to your hymn book. You still got it open there? Number 92. Look at that second verse. While you're turning there, we've talked about this before. You know, it's so many prophecies, 300 or plus. It just depends on who you talk to and how many there are. But a guy named Philip Stoner back in, I think about 1960s, 1970s maybe, did a study on the probability of these prophecies being fulfilled. And here are just a few of them. He would be born of a virgin. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be heralded by a messenger of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. He would perform miracles. He'd preach good news. He would first present himself as king. He would enter Jerusalem as a king riding on a donkey. He would die a humiliating and painful death. His feet, his hands would be pierced. His executioners would cast lots for his clothing. I mean, he took eight of these, and we've talked about this before, and he said the probability of eight of these happening, and happening in accordance to what the Scripture said to this one man, is 10 to the negative 17th. That's one with 17 zeros about behind it. Is it true? Is it that probable? It's almost, I mean, you couldn't even try to imagine how big that is. It's not big at all. I mean, if we were to put it in some kind of context, I bet you we'd be on some kind of atomic scale in size of the probability of that happening. The stoner went on and he said, look, if you took eight of these, to put it into layman's terms, and they came true, it would be like taking silver dollars and covering the whole state of Texas 2 feet deep and blindfolding a person and marking one of those silver dollars and him going out there blindfolded and reaching down and grabbing that one silver dollar. Unbelievable. The American Scientific Affiliation gave Stoner's work on this a stamp of approval. They said it's been found in general to be dependable and accurate in regards to the scientific material presented. The mathematical analysis included is based upon principles of probability which are thoroughly sound, and Professor Stoner has applied these principles in a proper and convincing way. And here we just saw one of them. Verse 2 of the song. For Christ is born of Mary. Now, there's a problem there. We got a problem with Mary in some areas of Christendom today. But let me just tell you that all have sinned. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. Even Mary. And to deify her is wrong. And to put the emphasis that many have put on her is wrong. But notice it says, Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. The angels, appeared out there in that pasture with those shepherds and their sheep. And you know it wasn't this time of year. Thank you for Mac, God. Thank you for giving us a man who took time and who wasn't afraid to tell the real Christmas story. We know that Christ wasn't born this time of year. There's no way. You don't tax in the middle of winter. Who's got any money? They didn't even have credit cards back then. That's why most people are buying it today. Oh, didn't ask for a show of hands. It goes on, it says, O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Peter wrote that angels desired to look into the things that had been written about in this book. They wanted to know. And there it was, that night that he was born, they came and they sang. And they knew. What a marvelous work God had done. Verse 3. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. It didn't come with fanfare. Didn't come with great noise. Didn't come with any kind of tremendous declaration. The But God doesn't really do it that way. Now think back when you were born again. Think about that. Think about how quiet that was. When God came to Elijah, He didn't come in the whirlwind, and He didn't come in the earthquake, and He didn't come in the fire. What did He come? He came in a still, small voice. What a miraculous way He came too. Nicodemus had no idea. He couldn't understand it. A man must be born again. What should I do? Should I crawl back into the womb? Be born again of my mother? No. Teacher of Israel, don't you understand what I'm talking about? He was born a human birth, but it was a unique birth, and it was a divine birth. And we share in that. We've been born a human birth. We've been born a unique birth, and it is a divine birth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may His coming, but in this, what's it say? No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. He came into His own, and His own received Him. Not. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. To them that believe on Him. Verse 4, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. With us is God. That should put great joy in your heart. With us is God. The hope and fear of all the years are met in thee tonight. It's a beautiful song. There's so many of them. I was watching Scrooge, the Christmas Carol with Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, and this one had Patrick Stewart. And I, they're just all so good. I just really get off on this story. And probably my favorite Christmas movie of all time. In any version, except the one where they sing. I can't do musicals. It's so hard. But Scrooge wakes up, and he puts on his clothes, and he goes to church, or he's walking by the church as he's heading over to Fred's house, and they're in there singing, and he walks in, and he's got his top hat on, and it takes a little while to get some of those rough edges smoothed down, and the guy says, and so Scrooge tips his hat to him, and he goes, no, take your hat off. And he goes, oh, take my hat off. Well, yeah, I'm coming into church. And he sits down, and they're singing, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. And he just picks it up, and he just belts it out. It's life. That's what God's given to us. That's what the birth of His Son's all about. It's joy. Isaac Watts wrote that song, Joy to the World. That's the other song we'll look at. It's page 87. This was written back in 1719. It comes from Psalms 98, or at least that's what he said it was based on. Watts was a brilliant man. He wrote quite a lot of songs, and actually he's known as the father of English hymnology. He was a smart guy. He didn't go to the university. His father made him go to the nonconformist academy. His dad was a nonconformist. In fact, got thrown in jail twice being a nonconformist back in that time. And Watts was 18 years old when he wrote the song, I think, 17, 18 years old. And his dad, he went to his dad, who was pastor of a church. And he said, "Dad, these songs are boring. These songs are dreary. These songs are depressing. They're nothing but apathy in them and no enthusiasm." And his dad said, "Well, then write another song. Write a better song if you can." And so that night he sat down and he wrote this song on page 87. Joy to the World. He ended up writing over 60 songs. He just everybody when they sang it the next Sunday, they loved the song. And he didn't really fashion it as a Christmas song as much as he thought it as the second Advent. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. He went on to write so many songs. I said that earlier, that he was called the father of English hymnology. Let's go over to Psalms 98 and read these passages that inspired him to write the song. Psalms 98. Begin with verse 4. Psalms 98, verse 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harps, with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, for he cometh, to judge the earth with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." Come back to the song. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing." Let every heart prepare him room. There was no room for him when he was born, was there? Do you think the innkeeper had been sitting around waiting? No. He had his coffers full. His inn was full. He probably was thankful every night when he went to bed to the taxation. But his heart had not been prepared. Do you think Herod's heart had been prepared? I think not. To Herod, he was a threat. To Herod, he was an enemy to his power. Now, Herod didn't prepare any room in his heart for him. And there are those who still today don't. Not everyone at that time received him as the Lord. But there was Simeon. You remember Simeon? Simeon had been given the promise that he would not die before he saw him. He said, "Now my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord." Amazing. There were some, and there are some still today. Second verse. "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found." So you see that it's really not a Christmas time. It's really kind of a second Advent. It's the second coming of the Lord that Isaac wrote about, but we sing it today because it's part of the hope and fears of all the years. In verse 4 in Joy to the World, he says, "He rules the world with truth and grace." I said that earlier. There's no truth. People in the postmodern world, in this politically correct world, have rejected truth. They're too pragmatic for that. Why, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, and what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. This is the age of tolerance. It reigns supreme. We live in a pluralistic world. We live where no one believes they have the truth, or no one can claim they have the truth. But where His truth reigns, there is life and there is love. He rules the world with truth and grace. It is said that if you rule the world with truth and there's no grace, you're a demigod. I can see that. It's said that if you rule the world with grace and no truth, you're just sentimental. Maybe even a sentimental slob. It's truth and grace that He rules the world with. And He makes the nations prove, and even today, and I don't mean this day, this Sunday, but I mean in this celebration of the season, all over the world. The one who loved us, the one who humbled Himself, the one who took upon the form of a man and was obedient even to the death of the cross, the one who gave His life for us so that we might live, is being honored, is being recognized, is being sung to all over the world. He makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. And wonders of His love. And wonders of His love. And wonders of His love. Songs are joyful. They speak a message. And often we sing them and we just sing them and don't think about them. It's the tune that really catches you, isn't it? I mean, it's just... Music really motivates us, doesn't it? Music moves us. Music grabs us. I mean, that's why they have all that music in those movies. If you just watched a plain old film without any music, it might take you two or three scenes before you realize, oh, something important went on back there. Where was the music? Pay attention to the words. The words are telling His story. Listen to the words. Take time to read the words as we've done today. And let your meditation and let your thought be upon the Christ child. Think of the gift that God gave. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You for the forethought. Even before the great need was there, You'd already planned out the plan of all the ages. How magnificent You are and how great You are in this story that we see today. Planning even the taxation to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, that small little town where the prophet had once said that he who is to be the ruler would be. And so many more, Father, so many more prophecies fulfilled. So much speaks of Him who loved us and gave His life for us so that we might live. And Father, we thank You at this time of year for the opportunity to glorify You and to adore You and to sing Your praise. May it not just be on our lips, but may it be in our heart too. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156.
Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.